Welcome to SEO 101, your introductory course on search engine optimization. So, turn on your computers, open your minds, grab your mouse, and get ready to get back to the basics. SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm is now in session.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on cranberry.fm. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Local. Good to hear from you, my friend. How are things?
Good. How'd Scott do last week? I appreciate him sitting in for me.
Yeah, he did a good job, as always. Yeah. We have a good time.
I forgot to tease him on Facebook.
I'm sure you'll catch up.
Yeah.
Who can avoid it? I think there were some questions that came up that were like, we wish John were here, but oh well, we managed. This last 2 weeks, holy cow, has there been a lot going on.
It's been a little bit crazy.
Yeah, lots of Google updates. I haven't done enough of my due diligence on how it's affected everyone. See, the nice thing about these updates is 99.9% of the time they just help my clients because they're usually just removing spam, which of course we don't do. Yeah. So that's great. White hat companies really just relax when these changes happen. It's great.
People that are yelling and screaming tend to be the ones that are worried. And yes. If you're worried, that means you probably aren't doing what you should have been doing to begin with.
Yeah, totally. Occasionally, of course, there are glitches, but luckily Google's been better at testing, I find. It hasn't had too many of those. In any case, let's jump right into it. The latest Google update just last weekend, the Mozcast, if you follow that, went way high, up to 108 degrees. It's a little weather.
It's one of the highest they've had, isn't it?
I think it is. I don't know whether or not they've gone much higher than that.
So
anyway,
explain to people who don't use the Mozcast kind of how that works. What does 108 mean?
It means that there's been a significant degree in changes across SERPs, search engine result pages, that Moz is tracking. At least that's my basic understanding of it. From a more technical perspective, there literally, this is the quote, Mozcast is a weather report showing turbulence in the Google algorithm over the previous day. The hotter and stormier the weather, the more Google's rankings changed. I'm sure Dr. Pete, who runs it, is doing more than just watching search results. It's probably more than that. Anyway, it's interesting. Try looking at analytics, all that sort of stuff.
It's usually a pretty good indicator of something going on. Absolutely.
Yeah, I can't recall seeing it that high. So there were some significant changes. The only changes I've seen from in terms of the rankings that I've seen for my site and some other clients is just improvements. So I'm hoping that's across the board, but you never know.
So the question then becomes, what was the change? What happened? And of course, the first thing everybody jumps to is, oh, it had to be Penguin, right? Was it Penguin?
No.
No Penguin. Still, no Penguin. But what was it? Because I haven't really had a chance to dig in to see what the analysts are saying was happening over the weekend. Because, again, it didn't impact us that much or my clients that much. So have you read what actually happened? What was the focus of the update? Or do we even know yet?
Quote unquote, this is from Barry Schwartz. It says, so the weekend update that is still unconfirmed by Google that kicked off Friday morning still has no explanation. Unquote. I don't know what in particular was noted as changed, like whether there's been trends. I think the places to look would be the webmaster forums where people obsess over this stuff. It's funny how being in this so long, I don't do that so much now, but.
Yeah, I was going to say, the people that are obsessing, again, are the people that are worried about what they did wrong. You know, when you don't do the, I'm not obsessing, you're not obsessing, because we're pretty confident that the work we do on a regular basis is not going to get caught up by one of these massive changes. But that said, you know, we should still be on top of it better than we are.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's not exclusive to the people who are worried, but also to the most intense search geeks, the ones that just want to know every little thing that's happening, and I've gone past that now. I just can't keep up with it. I'm just like, you know what? I'd rather have some fun.
we'll leave that to the SEO journalists. Yes. They can just tell us.
They are, however, working on an announcement. What is it, John? We're so excited.
The announcement is that Penguin announcement is being prepped. The announcement of an announcement.
Oh, dear God.
It's kind of like when they show trailers for Super Bowl commercials. When you have to do a commercial for a commercial, it's the same thing. We're doing an announcement that we're preparing an announcement. It is kind of crazy. I was going to say, but to the point, somebody said that, you know, if they're taking the time to prepare an announcement, and John Mueller had said this in one of his videos, that probably should have been under the Mueller files, actually, that if they're taking the time to prepare an announcement so they can work with the media companies, people are speculating that this is going to be pretty massive change. Something when Penguin 4.0 hits, and it's been a year and 10 months since a Penguin update, you know, it's going to have a significant impact for a lot of websites. So we joke about it, but when it comes, it could be very, very impactful for a lot of people.
I love it. Someone put in here what I can only assume is a fake quote because I haven't seen any kind of release, but it would be perfectly adequate and exactly what you'd see. Quote unquote, sorry for the delay, the false release innuendos and the constant pushbacks. Today, we are officially announcing that Penguin 4 will be released after Christmas so as not to impact the holiday period.
That is perfect.
Yeah. Anyway, the people who got hit by this, I hope they've moved on. The original Penguin, oh my God.
Well, part of the problem with Penguin is, and correct me if they changed this, and I forgot they changed it, but all the work you do to correct any issues from Penguin doesn't take impact until they update Penguin again. Isn't that correct? Since it's not a rolling update. So if you've been working for, you know, a year and 10 months trying to fix a Penguin problem, you know, if you fixed everything in the first month and is now a year and 9 months later, and you're still not seeing any impact from that because they haven't updated it. That's baffling to me.
Yeah, and like I said, I hope people have moved on. You know, they listened to some of the recommendations that were out there to, you know, fix it, but also, you know, go with another site while you wait. Because frankly, well, at least I bet you everyone's going to do that now. If anything happens again, they'll be like, screw this. I'll keep my site going. I'll do what I can to fix it, but I'm starting a new one. Because Google just rests on their laurels when it comes to this stuff, and it's hurt a lot of businesses.
Well, now, what's the odds of them when they announce 4.0 it being a rolling update? Didn't they talk about that at one point?
I don't know what the odds are, but it should be. You'd think it would be. Maybe that's why it took so long. I hope so. Yeah.
Yeah.
If it isn't after all this time, I'll be shocked.
Yeah, they're going to get some serious backlash from webmasters and marketers.
Yeah, the people they really care all about.
Yeah, the question is, will they care?
Yeah. Anyway, a big laugh out loud on that one. Okay, so we'll do one more here before we have a break here. Google adds reviews from the web to critic reviews in local search results. This is a Search Engine Land article, and find it fascinating. And I'll quote here, Google is still collecting its own reviews. With the addition of reviews from the web, it will now be showcasing three review sources, its own, critics' reviews, and third-party review sites, unquote. And that's showing, or going to show, in mobile search results. I don't know if that's going to happen also in organic. I'd expect it could, but they'll probably just test that.
You'd think at some point, yeah.
Yeah. They're showing a screenshot, which has reviews from the web, three little division columns with each of the sources, and then an out of five rating with number of reviews and votes.
I was really happy about this because it gave me some ammunition to go back to our technical department and get them to implement some schema on our review pages in the newspaper. You know, they were dragging their feet on that. This helped me push that forward a little bit.
I think Mike Blumenthal, who I follow religiously on any videos and content he puts out, he's excellent at the stuff, and local is my life these days. So anyway, he was saying then, and I don't disagree, that there's probably going to be a push of new review sites and review systems coming up, people coming out there and writing reviews for everything, not just restaurants, trying to find ways to create reviews for other establishments so that not only can they help those businesses, but essentially build their own services.
Yeah, and since I didn't listen to the show last week, did you and Scott talk about the new algorithm change tied to reviews that happened? Or that they're really going after review spam now? And that's kind of what prompted a lot of this?
No, I don't think we did.
You guys missed out. Man, I leave for one freaking week.
Well, there's got to be a reason to have you around, so go on.
Well, so Mike Blumenthal actually uncovered this and wrote a really good article about the fact that they've just updated the spam filters around reviews specifically. They came out with a theme update, which tied a lot to the spam stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure you did. Yeah. I'm going to have to go listen to the show now and see. But it was review specific. But it talked about not just the schema, but on where reviews come from, the third-party versus on-site reviews, a lot of stuff like that. And I think that's part of why they're really focusing on this review piece, and it's going to become a bigger part of what we do at local SEO now. It's always been a piece of it, but now I think it's going to be a bigger focus, not only for us, but for Google.
Yeah, I looked down and actually don't see the notes. I'd be shocked if I didn't, because I've been talking about it with everyone since I read it. Yeah, I even saw it before you did. Anyway, it's some of the examples. For example, get 5 stars, which is Mike Blumenthal's system for reviews. He's one of the partners in it. It has the ability for people to, I guess, capture any negative reviews before they post them live. Well, that's no longer kosher. Anyone doing that, I guess, will have the potential of having a devalued review by Google if they see that, if they know that these are reviews have been edited or reviewed. So in this case, I know Get 5 Stars is coming up with an update which will provide some sort of certification to people or to businesses using Get 5 Stars that don't edit, that just post directly anything, even negative reviews, to their site. So that was just one example of something Google is implementing with that schema update.
Yeah, and I guess unless I didn't read it, they're still not looking at sentiment as a ranking factor, correct? They're just looking at they're looking at if you're a bunch of 1 stars versus a bunch of 5 stars. They're just looking at the number of reviews, or are they actually starting to look at sentiment?
Oh, I've read things, but I don't think I can say any of what I've read has been conclusive.
Yeah, I can't either.
I would say that there's a decent reason just to stick with the stars for now. I mean, there's no reason to complicate things more.
But I would, on that note, I bet you before we ever know it, they're going to start looking at sentiment, so that the 5-star, especially once they get everybody doing it, publishing positive and negative reviews. I mean, right now people only publish the positive reviews, so they really can't look at sentiment because nobody publishes the negative stuff. But if they can get people on an even keel publishing positive and negative, then they can actually start looking at sentiment and actually adjusting rankings based on whether it's a quality or high quality or low quality experience for the users. And I'm sure they will if they ever get to the point where they feel like they're getting a honest enough look at what the sentiment is from an algorithmic standpoint.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, Google does look at more, like they look at all of pretty much anywhere the reviews are being created. So I think that based on just a star rating, they can get a pretty good idea of the favor of a business. If they're looking at just the ones on the site, I agree that those are not really going to be a good example, because a lot of people do, if they can, mitigate the negative. I actually recommend including them to all my clients. I think it adds a more natural feel, and I think probably more authentic touch. No one really should have all 5 out of 5s. In fact, we actually have said to people, please, we really appreciate it if you give us a 5 out of 5, but if you want to give us a little less, we're not going to be hurt if you feel it's worth it.
What's Stepforth's average rating right now? Should I put
unfortunately
you on the spot?
It's 5 still. I'm trying to get someone to, which is ironic, but anyway.
Damn happy customers.
I think it's 4.9 or whatever Google does for that, but I don't really understand how that works. But anyway, and I think the only place I can really see sentiment falling into play is when they don't have a star review, and they're trying to determine the sentiment of a sort of unofficial review, it's just general sentiment about a business. Someone comments, you name it. Who knows, though? I don't know that would work and how well they could mitigate or truly quantify that. Well, let's take a quick break and we'll get into some, we'll talk about this when we get back.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Is your website hacked? Is your website displaying error messages or loading slowly? Even if there are no signs of malicious activity, your site may still be compromised. Websites, like cars, require regular maintenance to perform at their best and not leave you stranded. At Fjorge, our website maintenance experts can help you assess which one of our maintenance plans will best support your needs. visit fjorddigital.com or call 612-877-3840 and get the support and protection your website and business deserve. That's fjorddigital.com.
Are you paying too much for your paid advertising, or have you quit altogether because it seemed like a huge waste of money? Studies show that companies waste 25% of their PPC spend on average. The web marketing experts at WMETraining.com can show you how to make your AdWords account a lean, mean, converting machine. Whether you're just starting out or want to take your skills to the next level, we have a class for you. Contact the web marketing experts at WMETraining.com.
Jamming and spamming, cashing in the clicks. SEO is always in session, only on Cranberry Radio, cranberry.fm.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on Cranberry.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Local, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. So how goes that test there, John?
So I went to look for a domain company to see where GoDaddy showed up in the organic search, because they're one of the biggest domain companies out there, but they also have one of the worst reputations of any company on the online right now. And while they're the number one ad for domain company, they do not show up in the first, they're not showing up on the first page for that phrase. Oh, wait, there they are. They're like eight, right above network solutions.
I'm not a big GoDaddy fan, the prior GoDaddy, although I've heard a lot of good things about the new owners, or at least the new people running it. Not sure they're actually new owners, but anyways, apparently they've done a lot to improve the reputation. So,
They just bought a company. They just announced it today. It's a dedicated WordPress hosting company, one of the bigger ones, ManageWP, which was a really good dedicated WordPress hosting company, had some really unique features, just became part of GoDaddy today, actually. Hmm. So, interesting. Well, like a lot of people upset about that who use them.
I would normally be, but again, I've heard so many good things about how this new, they've really overhauled GoDaddy that I think there's still hope. Oh, let's see. We'll see.
Yeah, I still use them for my domains. I've never hosted there, but I still use them for domains.
I use Namecheap. I find them far cheaper and they're great, but GoDaddy certainly racked up their prices. Whoa. Anyway, I think they needed to. Okay, well, let's jump into more local. It's a local day. Google is testing a local two-pack. This is something you posted here, and why don't you lead with it?
Yeah, so it's interesting. We heard a couple weeks ago, 3-4 weeks ago, that Google started putting ads in the local pack, the pay-per-click ads that looked for it. And it kind of turned the local pack from a three-pack into a four-pack because they inserted that ad at the top of those. But now they're testing making it a three-pack again with only two of the listings being organic and one of them being paid. Again, this is just testing. I'm not really sure where this will go or how well. Have you heard anything else about it, Ross?
No. I have a feeling it was just a rare test. I can't fathom why they do that. I mean, even in the example they show on SCM Post, thescmpost.com, there's three markers on the map but only two showing below. It just seems like a test.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, Google says there's like 40 or 50 tests running at any one time. So, and then if they're not all ever going to come to fruition, it's interesting to think. Yeah, no doubt. But I bet to me, it seems like this would be more of a mobile play than it would be a desktop play. Cause again, real estate on those mobile screens is so valuable.
Right. Yeah. And I think although apparently it's getting even stronger, it makes perfect sense that mobile is getting even stronger in terms of most of the views on Google, desktop's always going to have a play, and I hope that they don't minimize it too much. I think having more than two is kind of important on desktop. It's one of the places you expect to get a little more detail.
Yep. It's interesting also to note that this the test that was found was that German.de. It was not in the U.S. The test wasn't.
That's right.
Or Canada. It was DE. Is that German? What is DE?
Sure looks like German. I'm looking at the picture, and it's in German. So.
Yeah. Which is another reason I think this is just a limited happen to catch type test.
Yeah. All right. Well, interesting though. It's the same. Thanks for sharing that. Another one is about Google filtering local business results. And this was actually a really well-written article. I'm just looking here. It's by Joy Hawkins. Of course it is. She's an amazing writer. I really like her stuff. And she's very on top of this. In any case, there's been a significant shift in local search results, apparently. And she's documented it. And I'm impressed. Like, for example, she's showing some before and afters of particular maps in the local results. And that before, there were a ton of pins, markers for different locations. After, holy cow, it must be cut in half. I mean, it's just enormous how much was cut in half. I read a quote here from Bill Slosky. He's the patent guy in our industry. He loves reading patents and explaining them, and he does a great job. Anyway, here's a quote from, I guess, one of his interpretations. A spam score is assigned to a business listing when the listing is received at a search entity. A noise function is added to the spam score such that the spam score is varied. In the event that the spam score is greater than a first threshold, the listing is identified as fraudulent, is not included in, or is removed from, the group of searchable business listings. And we've seen, apparently, quite a drop in listings. There's been quite a significant one. I have definitely seen some improvements in local for many of my my own sites and clients. So, again, I have not had – I really dug into how good it is, but
– I can tell you that when I first read this and I was first looking at the new filter changes in the Google search, I went to a competitor of an ex-client of mine who I knew was doing a very specific spamming technique in local searches. And I went to see if it picked him up, and it didn't. He was still getting away with everything that he was doing. And so I wasn't real, because that to me was an obvious one. And I've even, made comments to people about this that should be able to take some action on it. Nothing ever has happened. So I was really hoping this would pick them up, but it didn't, because it's really egregious. What they're doing is egregious and bad.
Yeah, that's not good. I mean, in one of the examples she shows here for the listings for Locksmith Boulder, of course, locksmiths are infamous for their local spam. She's saying, quote unquote, "I'm seeing the filter hitting the locksmith industry harder than any other due to the amount of fake listings that exist." Scott Barnett co-founded an online business directory called Busyhood, and when he analyzed the locksmith listings in his directory, he found 80% of them were fake. Unquote. It's pretty nasty. So I'm glad that that's being hit. It's just ridiculous. I tried working with a locksmith? No, it was someone in that line and in the New York area. Man, I did not take that on.
That would be scary.
Yeah. Very difficult to market and just rife with spam. I mean, I don't think you can compete against it unless you're going to jump in. So. So what is Google filter based on? And this is some points from Joy's article. Age of listing. So just how long it's been around. Organic ranking. She says, "I don't believe it's any coincidence that all four of the locksmith listings ranking in the Boulder 3-pack have organic rankings in the top 10 as well." Again, this is just based on an expert's opinion. Also, duplicate listings. Slossy's article, he notes that the patent mentions that businesses employ methods to include multiple listings for the same business. So this is something Google looks for when evaluating the spam filter. For one of the locksmiths that didn't make the initial cut in July, the address is a plaza. So there's dozens of other listings at the same address. It's actually a really good long article. So I can't get into all of it. I know we're getting short in time. So let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into one little thing on Mueller Files and then some questions from the community.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestlé trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
It's time to take your ad testing out of the Mesozoic era and into the Ezoic era. eZoic is the world's first machine learning platform, creating tailored ad combinations to monetize your website. Our automated ad testing not only boosts ad income, but increases page views, improves bounce rate, and will impress the user experience. Start your 30-day free trial today at eZoic.com and join thousands of publishers who are already earning 60% more with eZoic. That's EZOIC.com. eZoic, make your website smarter. eZoic is a Google-certified publishing partner.
Online anytime. This is Cranberry Radio. Cranberry.fm.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on Cranberry.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Local, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. All right. Mueller files. What have you got here to start with?
Yeah, just a quick, simple little techie thing for people that are really interested in the tech side of SEO. Sometimes you do a structured markup for a site and you're really anxious to see the results, and you're not really sure you're implementing correctly. John Mueller gave a really good tip on one of his videos last week that you should be able to see your structured markup if a page has been crawled on a site colon command. So if you're doing a site colon command on your site, you can't find a page that you marked up in standard organic search for some reason, you can do a site colon command and you should be able to see that structured markup in those results if it's done correctly. So he said this is a really good way to test to make sure that this is implemented. I'm sure there's lots of tools out there that'll tell you as well, but this is really a direct test in Google search results to make sure that it's happening the way you expect it to happen. Just a little tidbit, a little trick there, which I found could be useful for some people.
Interesting. So what about this company in Turkey being banned? I didn't hear about this.
Oh, this is just interesting to me personally because it was a media company, a large media company, television station, pretty significant share of the market space in Turkey was banned from Google because they were potentially abusing news and video submissions. And I can tell you that we didn't have our entire site banned, but we got notification of pages removed because of user spam to our video section. People were creating videos and just uploading. We actually have a user upload capability for some of our sections of our site that just got hammered. We had to lock it down because, you know, before it was pretty open and people started abusing it, and we got pages of the site banned, not necessarily the entire site like this company did. So it was just interesting to note that doesn't matter how big you are, if you get caught doing something or you're not on top of things, they will take action.
Interesting. Okay. Well, we have a question here from Simon Cox. Simon says, one of the threads that was discussed quite a lot at Brighton SEO, which is a conference, by the way, on Friday was site migrations.
It's one of the biggest SEO conferences in Europe, Brighton SEO.
That's great. Well, tons of good advice from the speakers. Even I picked up a few good tips, and I do a lot of this. My question for the host is, how do they approach a site migration? Many people are scared of them, and many reckless and arrogant about what they need to do and what they can ignore. My tip is to build a list of all the URLs, not just the ones you think you have, after a screaming frog crawl. I use a Google SERP extractor to grab all the links Google has for the site. Have to do it manually for Bing. As there will be links to your site with incorrect paths, still worth redirecting those. Also, I use SEMrush and other tools to add to the backlinks. Any source, really, that will add to a comprehensive list for redirecting. Then I have to fight IT teams to get all the redirects put in. Always a struggle, as they never want to do more than 200. No doubt about that. We've done one, I think, recently for 800, and it was just painful. But it has to be done.
Yeah, I did one recently for a couple million, so I know the feeling.
Yeah, that's another thing along.
Yeah.
Hopefully there are some patterns there. You could do some mass stuff. Anyway.
Yeah, there has to be. There's no way to do them individually.
So how do we go about it? Well, first of all, one of our vendors, because he's got a client with a similar issue and he's worried about losing rankings. To me, it really depends on just how panicked a client is about losing any rankings, any movement. If they're completely paranoid about losing anything, that will affect my strategy. In many cases, I will try to, if they're just converting it to a new design, a new theme, whatever it might be, I just try to ensure that there's as minimal change possible to the content and the links within the site and the structure. those are the, that's the most paranoid. I prefer, however, to do the proper, pass the redirects and link juice to the, to perhaps some pages that could use the benefit. If there are pages that are broken, a very comprehensive redirect campaign, and minimizing any pages, removing them where necessary that are old, outdated, and again, redirecting. Then I make sure that when I'm doing, when the site is launched, I submit the old sitemap to get the redirects found faster. And let's say once I'm sure that that's been fully indexed, and that does take a little time, and frankly, part of it's a guess, I then submit the natural sitemap. That's a really canned, quick answer. But what about you, John?
I think for me, it starts with the setting two expectations right up front in the redesign process. First expectation is that the new website needs to be better optimized than the old website, so that, you know, forget all the redirects, forget all that, that 2 years down the road, it's going to be performing better than the old one was in search, right? So that's the first thing you have to make sure happens. Mm-hmm. Second thing is, I set the expectation that every single time you do a site redesign and you change URLs, you are going to lose rankings, period. Yeah. There's nothing we can do about it. What happens is that transition strategy, what we do between the old version of the site and the new version of the site, really basically it determines how long it takes you to recover from that loss. And the better the transition strategy, the faster you recover, the better your new site design is optimized, the better you go beyond that initial recovery into positive gain, right? So that's what I try to set the foundation before all this even starts. That way, if you get one of those like clients like you were talking about, Ross, that I don't want to lose anything, I'm like, well, then don't redesign your site, because you're going to lose something with the redesign, right? And you set that expectation so they know it's coming, so they don't freak out when it hits. And you don't really lose anything, because you get your transition in place. It's a small enough site where Google can handle the transition very quickly, and they really don't lose anything. You're a hero. But you got to set that expectation that there's a very good, that you're going to lose some rankings, and the transition is going to really set that determination of how long it takes to recover.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I should definitely qualify that no matter what, we always prepare the client with that very statement that, you know, we are going to do absolutely everything possible, and even for the most paranoid one, to minimize any ranking drops, but you're going to see some. Based on my experience, if we do it this way, again, the paranoid way, you'll probably regain most of them and fairly quickly. Again, I'm not dealing with million page sites. I'm dealing with thousands page sites, perhaps tens of thousands in some cases. And the one that I can think of as an example did well, but bloody heck, it was a lot of work. And we had to do a lot of consultation before they could do the launch, just to ensure that everything was as clearly almost identical to the last one in terms of the content, even layout.
And then the first question that I ask after we have that initial conversation is, when we do the redesign, is there any possible way we can do it without changing any URLs? If you can do it without the URLs changing at all, that's the way to go. You know,
which is what we did in this case too.
That's the number one way to do it. Yeah. Because then you don't have to worry about anything really. You might lose some pages based on navigation changes, but if you can keep the URLs the same, you're miles ahead of anything else.
That turned out all right. On behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and John Carcutt, the director of Google, thank you for joining us today. If you have any questions you'd like to share with us, please feel free to post them on our Google Plus page, found by searching SEO 101 on Google. Have a great week. Episode 8 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, .fm.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and their guests and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of Cranberry News Marketing and Cranberry.fm. Rebroadcasts or retransmission of this content without proper consent is prohibited.